This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Bringing a species back from the brink of extinction is no easy task, but in the case of the gray wolf in the West, public attitudes have been a bigger challenge than biology. While wolves are thriving in Yellowstone National Park, what happens beyond park boundaries will be the final test of the species' success. In Morning Edition's series marking the 30th anniversary of the Endangered Species Act, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold has this second of two reports.
You have to strap on snowshoes to get up here in the winter, but a little over a mile off the main road in the heart of Yellowstone National Park is a high chain-link fence and a few wooden kennels. What's left of a holding pen where 31 wolves from Canada mark the beginning of their species comeback to the American West.
It's probably the only federal government program that A, worked, B, came in on time, and C, under budget.
Park naturalist Greg Wright, a wolf biologist, is an obvious fan.
I think it was a great idea.
Why?
This park needs wolves, and you can see their effects all the way down through their prey, elk, and then down to regenerating vegetation that historically has been overgrazed and browsed. So it's a positive thing to have a top predator back in the park.
The 31 wolves introduced here almost 10 years ago are now 159 wolves inside Yellowstone, and there are more than 300 in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, which includes parts of Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana. That's some 16-plus wolf packs in and around the park. But their return, unlike species such as the bald eagle, hasn't been embraced by everyone. Doug Smith heads the Yellowstone Wolf Project.
Everybody likes bald eagles. They're our national symbol. I mean, wolves are our national scapegoat, at least until the last couple decades. Everybody hated wolves, and a lot of people still do.
Smith says mythology has been the greatest obstacle to the effort.
And I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
There's just no such thing as a good wolf, or so we've been taught. Just a few bars of Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf are enough to conjure up childhood images. But fairy tales aren't the only reason wolves have been missing from Yellowstone for the last 70 years. The first bounties on wolves were in the Plymouth colonies. Smith says wolves were seen as a threat to livestock and as competitors for game back then and still are today.
We can never get past all the baggage wolves carry with them from history, mythology, legends. There's big debates over what wolves do to prey populations. And those things are always going to make the future of wolves unsure.
As the federal point man for the whole Northwestern wolf recovery effort, Ed Bangs' job has been to make the future of wolves as sure as possible. That gets tricky outside park boundaries. Bangs recently had to give the kill order for the last of the original wolves he helped bring down from Canada. Known as Number 41, she was caught repeatedly killing livestock.
Along with wolves has to come reasonable management to make sure that people's concerns are addressed on the local level. And so the national public is a big part of this. They have to realize that putting wolves in places, such as Yellowstone even, brings with it the responsibility for wolf management. And sometimes that means killing problem wolves. I mean, when they're killing your dog or your sheep, it's a big deal.
Because they're listed, Bangs believes wolves bear the added stigma of being associated with the federal government. But as much as he wants to remove that stigma, he recently recommended against it. Delisting means transferring management from federal to state. State plans must offer enough protection to sustain a target population of wolves. While Montana and Idaho passed that test, Bangs and his superiors felt Wyoming's plan wasn't adequate. At a recent county commissioners meeting in Montana, Bangs took it on the chin for that opinion.
The reason was partly the difference between the state law and the state plan.
I don't care what the reason was, Ed. You speak with a forked tongue, Mr. Bangs.
The commissioners, largely ranchers, want the wolf delisted as soon as possible. Some believe the state will be more responsive to livestock kills. Others think it simply means they'll be able to shoot wolves without going to jail. Elaine Olmsted is a commissioner from Sweetgrass County, a sheep and cattle rancher. The Olmsted's grazing permit is on public land 4 miles from the Yellowstone border.
My husband, he said, you know, at the time, he thought, what, a few wolves. You know, I'm awake anyways. I have grizzly bears, I have coyotes, I have mountain lions. What's one more species? But he thinks a little differently now. because we have such huge losses.
Olmsted estimates losses of up to 60 sheep this past year, and even the loss of just a few animals can mean make or break. While ranchers say disease and weather also take a toll on livestock, that's out of their control. And just knowing wolves are out there in your field, says Maureen Davey of Stillwater County, makes you uneasy.
A lot of people don't even live here that decided how to do this. And I do fear for the human life. I don't know where the story Little Red Riding Hood came from, but we all heard that it was the wolves were bad. So here they are again. They reintroduced them to us.
Ranchers are compensated up to $2,000 per animal. If it's proven wolves are responsible, the money comes from Defenders of Wildlife, a group concerned about what happens to wolves when they leave the protection of the park. Biologists say that migration between the packs in Yellowstone, central Idaho, and northwestern Montana is critical, no matter how tenuous. Again, Greg Wright.
And with almost any wildlife management project, what you realize after you've worked with it after a while is that it's not managing the wild population, but managing the people who surround the wild population. That's usually the issue with ranching communities and people who aren't that happy about the wolves. I think the more that they're listened to and they at least have a voice, the more successful the program will be.
But there are other voices as well. Advocates who believe delisting is premature and that wolves should be restored far beyond the Northern Rockies. Still, the notion that the Endangered Species Act mandates restoration of a species to what it once was isn't what the law intends. On Capitol Hill, John Dingell, one of the act's authors, says the idea was to simply remove the threat of extinction.
We were not trying to fill the world with wolves or snail darters or little wild orchids, just to see to it that the basic requirements of adequate population, sufficient genetic pool, and enough habitat were present that the population was not exterminated.
Clearly, inside Yellowstone National Park, the wolf is back. Thousands of tourists from around the world now have the rare opportunity to see and hear wolves.
Look at him, he's running.
Along with the Northern Rockies, the wolf is close to being delisted in Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Once off the list, there's a 5-year oversight period, and for biologists like Doug Smith, who are studying the consequences of bringing a species back, the work has just begun.
And I think a lot of Americans have faith in the Endangered Species Act to stop the slide of many species that aren't doing well. And if it can be done with wolves, that gives great hope to other lesser controversial species. So there was a lot at stake here for wolves to succeed.
Restoring wolves to Yellowstone and ultimately to the Northern Rockies has been a grand experiment. But what happens when the wolf is delisted is still an unknown. The fate of the wolves, and maybe even the act itself, hang in the balance. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Yellowstone National Park.
Part one of this report is at npr.org.